نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. قال الله تعالى في قرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد مولد الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله الكرم. أما بعد، رشي بلنا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah most high, for the believers, for the mu'mineen, the objective, the purpose, the mission of life that Allah has presented to us, explained to us. Allah has not prohibited us from anything, stopped us from anything. All of the things in the world, in the dunya, within the circle of Sharia, within the boundaries of Sharia, to use the things in the world, to benefit the thing from the things in the world, Allah has not prohibited us. But definitely the human being should keep his objective of life with him. Then everything of the world, for the people of Iman, it's for the people of belief. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has created in this world, in this universe, it's for those who have belief, those who have iman, for their benefit, for their use. But the problem, the difficulty arises for an individual at that time when the human being forgets his objective. Then his dunya gets destroyed and his hereafter gets destroyed. So what we need to think here is that keep your objective and purpose of life in front of you and keep living your life in that way. So what's the objective? What's our purpose? Definitely that should be in front of us all the time in this journey of life in the world, in this environment of the world. We forget our purpose, our mission. And that is Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul. Obey Allah, Allah's pleasure, and in the way following the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, complete imitation and following of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's our objective of life. And with this purpose, if a human being lives his life, totally then he stays within the boundary of Sharia and the boundaries Allah has created for us, give us the limits. So what's the purpose of life? To please Allah. Obey Allah, please Allah, and to follow Rasulullah. Keep this purpose in front of you and me, all of us. And how do we attain Allah's pleasure? There's no way to please Allah. There's no method to please Allah, no ibadah. All ibadat, worship, the pathways open up via obedience to and imitating the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember this point. Remember, all of the obedience, all ibadah, worship, do any act of worship, if it's against the sunnah, it will not be accepted. It will become azab, punishment. The biggest preparation, focus, attention should be for ibadah, and that ibadah will be accepted. What is done by following and emulating the Holy Prophet, what the Prophet demonstrated to us, what his blessed noble companions demonstrated to us. Otherwise it's not worship, it becomes a problem. Yes, you can be reciting Quran, doing the same actions, worshipping, praying. You could do more, but it will be a problem for you. It will not be included as worship. Doesn't matter how much you feel satisfaction in your heart. This is istidraj. It's a mirage. When you do the wrong action against the Sharia, then you feel happy in the heart. And he thinks, the believer, or she thinks, that I'm doing right. But it's the biggest mirage, it's a deception. And shaitan and nafs, it creates the happiness inside the person. Sometimes the tears drop. Shaitan and his feelings make the tears drop. He thinks, oh, he's an ashik, he's a lover of Allah and the Prophet. And in that trick, that game drum, it doesn't matter if you're crying, you don't feel emotions, you don't feel good inside, well, it doesn't matter, anything comes. But if you are imitating the Prophet ﷺ, then your deeds are accepted. This is our life standard. The rest is just fake. How should we take this? Eating, drinking, standing, sitting, walking, traveling, wearing clothes, taking the clothes off. Every action. What should we do? How? We think before. What should be our standard? What should be in front of us? Only one thing. Following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the life standard. This is the life we should make. But we can't do this. We can't do this. We follow our desires, our thinking, opinions. We do big amal, we go into difficulty. But on this standard and platform, we're not willing to practice that what Rasulullah liked and did, we should do that. We'll make thousands of excuses. It's not necessary. It's not strict. Deen is not that strict. Thousands of ways we're trying to get out of it. But just one standard of life. Allah's Nabi said this and he did it. End of story. End of story. End of story. No argument after that. This is our deen. This is the religion. But this deen, this religion that I'm explaining to you, is very easy for us to implement. But is it hard at the same time? You say, how can it be easy and hard at the same time? Both things? How can they be? It's so easy to practice the deen that the Allah Ta'ala has given us the means to attain the deen and practice it. It's very straightforward. The means, the resources. Listen to carefully what I'm saying. What's that? The very straightforward and simple way that Allah Ta'ala has said, أَتِيُوا اللَّهُ وَأَتِيُوا رَسُولُ أَبَيْ اللَّهُ and obeys the Prophet ﷺ, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا, Allah says. Azima. That after that, there's no barrier. There are two, after these, following these two guidance routes, then you get the biggest reward. Jannah will open up, paradise will open up, Allah will give rewards, the pathways. Allah says, just do these two things. Please Allah and follow His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, to attain this path of the deen is very easy. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has given us the method, the tools, so that we can practice the deen. Do you understand? The resources, the tools, the means, the methods. Like for example, you want to go to London, travel, and there's a motorway, nothing, it's hard, the route is hard. How will you drive there? And somewhere there are the right or the left, or there's a solid road. But if you get onto the motorway, then it's straightforward, direct, easy the route. Because it's the straight road, get onto the motorway, follow the directions, and you'll arrive there. In the same way Allah Ta'ala has given us the route, the pathway, He's explained the route to us. It's very easy. And why is it hard for us? It's hard for this reason, that our nafs, our desires and shaitan, who are our enemies, they interfere. They put a spanner in the works. What do they do? Is that this path of the deen, they take us out of that path, and Allah has given us the means, the resources, the way to get to Allah. They remove that and they put us onto another path. Just like, for example, you're going on a straight motorway, someone says to you, where are you going? Oh man, there's a shortcut. I'll tell you. How long? Just 4 hours. But 1.5 hours, I'll cut off, so I'll give you 2.5. You listen to that person and you turn off the motorway, and then you will be on the wrong path. At that time you say, oh, I don't know, I just thought I'd follow the directions. I don't know what it means. If, for example, you could say that you can put the lights on full glare in the night, you still won't get there. Just be blindly following that person, blindly, without following the direction. You'll say, yaar, you just say it's a shortcut. You'll say, no, soon, it's coming, the shortcut. And shaitan says, it's going to come. Why? Because the straight path that the government has given to us, the motorway, if we leave that, we're going into greed. So the nafs, the desire, shaitan gives us greed. Oh, leave this yard, lengthy deen. Why are you going to follow the sunnah? Oh, let's become lovers of the Prophet and fake and do what we want, follow our opinion. Who said become lovers? Eat, drink, enjoy, listen to nasheeds, you'll be lover of the Prophet. Shaitan nafs. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because shaitan has taken us off the motorway, the straight path, and our real purpose, objective, he's taken us away from that. And all life long, you won't pray Salah in Jamaat, you won't be able to keep the beard. The Holy Prophet ﷺ's dress code, you won't wear it, you won't follow his practice, his habits, that the things that Allah Ta'ala taught us to do, but we'll find many other ways to prove and make us feel that we're lovers of Allah and his Prophet ﷺ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Straightforward deen. That why have you come off the motorway? What road are you going on? Why have you got lost? This is what the Quran is telling us. That we should understand this. Yes, and all over the Quran, Allah gives us the same message. Allah is explaining to us, educating us. It's not hard. You've made deen hard yourselves. You've made deen difficult yourselves. Why? Because the human being, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives guidance to the human being. That beware, don't do this, be careful. Fi dalalatun harajun, Allah says, I give you the guidance, clear cut. Allah says, I guide you, I develop you. What is it? That right and left. That Allah ta'ala tells us. Allah says, I give you the news, the warning. Allah says, with the proof, explanation. Allah says, I told the person that this is the right path and beware as well from the wrong path. Not one from the Anbiya alayhi salam, they came, the prophets, to warn us, to tell us. Every prophet had this function, that this is right, this is left. This is good, this is bad. And what does that person do then? Despite that Allah Ta'ala has given us news, announced to us, told us the pathways, told us what's right and wrong, the prophets came, they explained to us, and Allah Ta'ala gave kitabs and books, revelation. And the Anbiya, the whole jamaat of the Anbiya, when the prophets left, then Siddiqeen, the Saliheen, they replaced them, who showed us to the straight path. But Allah Ta'ala says, what do we do? What? The nafs and shaitan, due to the devil and our desires, then we go on our own way, our own merry way. We think that we know better. We make our own path up, our own deen. Allah's told us. What happens here? That Allah's given a chance, then la yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah says, my duty I've implemented. That I've told you what's right and left, good and bad. I'll send the prophets, the messengers, the kitabs, until qiyamah, the saliheen, the sadiqeen will come and tell us. Then it's up to you, believer, which path did you go down? So what does the desires do? What do the desires do? The desires grab us, and they shake us, and it takes us to the wrong path. Then Allah steps back. Why? Because he has followed his own will and choice. Allah said, I explained to you. Mubashir. And the Anbiya came, the Quran, the Hadith, they're all telling us the right way. What did we do? That we followed our choice, our desires, and we didn't even check that is it right, and the nafs took us towards the bad path. And when the nafs took us to the bad path, the dark path, what does Allah say? Subhanallah. Then Allah says, I step back. I take my responsibility away. Then Allah says, then what I do is then I keep that person on that wrong path for a long time. Allah says, I take the blessings away. Then I stretch that. And then that person, Allah says, you want to follow the wrong way? Then carry on. Because I gave you the guidance, I gave you the reminders, the warning, but you left that and you followed your own path. Just like that person traveling, he left the route. Allah says, fine, carry on. How long? Allah says, as long as the time comes, the azab, the punishment will come. This is the Quran, isn't it? The two things that I promised, you will keep on going, you will keep on going, you will follow the dunya. And then that person, when he's following that path of darkness, what happens? And he sees on the way houses, shops and cars and dunya and assets and money. And he thinks, yeah, I'm succeeding. I've left the deen. He thinks he's proper. Rather, Allah says that I stretch his path of darkness out a long time. So I give him a full chance to keep happy in the dunya. Allah says, I gave the examples in the kitab. Fir'aun, Haman, Abu Jahl, Ubay bin Khalaf. What were they? They were the same type of people. They enjoyed the dunya. Allah punished them with elongation of the dunya. And we're so foolish, we still don't understand this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Allah says, then what happens? That I stretch out their disobedience and their rejection. Allah says, I don't do this, then that I'll give them hardship. Allah says, I won't give them punishment. No. Allah says, I increase their enjoyment, their relaxation, their happiness. And then their shops run, their businesses run, and people praise them. And I give them kingdoms, I give them power. And they have enjoyment in the dunya. They don't get an opportunity, a chance after that to turn back. Allah says, give them ease and comfort. And they think, we're fine. We're fine. Yes? And look at those people, they say, who are believing Allah, where they sat. In other words, what's the excuse? Those people who don't practice the deen? What's the excuse they have? And to strengthen their wrong iman, those people who are pious and are practicing and experiencing hardships, then Allah Ta'ala gives them a real proper style of life in this dunya. Why? Because that person knows that the life in the dunya is a very short period of time. Remember this, the believer. Difficulties, ups and downs, problems that Allah Ta'ala gives. When the human being is following the right path and when difficulties and ups and downs come, then he knows that this life is very short. This is Allah's wisdom that He's given me hardship. Allah's big, big wisdom that He's given me hardship. But we get scared. We start to shake this darkness. Children are sick and unwell. Ajib complaints come. Somebody phoning me. Somebody's writing. They look in our house. There's darkness. I don't have electricity. In Pakistan, people have that. Poverty, hunger, thirst. People are falling pity on them. And look at the iman of that person. Yes, and the person who has got iman, faith. You understand what I'm saying? Then he will believe that whatever comes to him, Allah has given a big wealth because he's following Sharia. He's punctual in salah. He's leaving haram. He's cautious about haram. And he is following the Holy Prophet ﷺ completely. He doesn't allow any deviation from that. He prefers poverty or hunger or a small house. But that believer says, mutashabba, the doubtful thing, I will not bring in my life. Then his standard, his rank increases them. The people of the dunya, they're mocking him. They're laughing at him. Allah stretching out the dunya, giving them more dunya, making them enjoy more dunya. You understand what I'm saying? Allah says that's the punishment. Allah says the adab I give, then there are two choices after that. To grab that person, to punish. Allah says, my hikmah, how I grab the person, punish the person. Allah says there are two things Allah has mentioned. What is azab? Punishment. Allah says in the dunya, I will start to give him more ease and more relaxation, more enjoyment. Then, for example, that person gets a stroke, or his kidneys fail, or lungs fail, or his face is disfigured, or he gets a stroke. Allah says, this adab in reality is related to what? To the way that I grab him in the dunya. Allah says, suddenly I grab that person. I grip that person. After that, no one can release the grip. When Allah says, sometimes I do that, after the period of enjoyment. Allah says, but the real adab that I've kept aside, very few people do I grab in the dunya, give them punishment. The disobedient people, I don't stop their food, I don't stop their water, I don't stop their wealth, I let it carry on, Allah says. But eventually, the azab will come to the person. Yes, they're, for example, not praying salah, their wretchedness, their pride, and their haughtiness, and their stubbornness, being proud of their money and their wealth, and being proud of their status, and they believe that nobody can affect them. Yes, they say, oh, it doesn't matter if I don't pray, or what difference it make, if I don't do this today, it doesn't matter. Oh, I did this sin, who's told me off, who's grabbed me? So they get strong on the haram, and their belief in haram increases. Allah says, that's my punishment. You understand what I'm saying? This is a gathering. This is why we get together to discuss things like this. So when a person rejects Allah and he gets more staunch, then Allah says, what happens? Is then, after that, I extend and I stretch out the punishment of that person to the hereafter. Then I grab that person in the hereafter, give the azab. Then I will ask that person. That. Allahu Akbar. Verse of the Quran reading to you. Allah says, I question that person in the hereafter. After he passes away. Allah questions that person. He says the Quran. Allah says, where are your houses? Where are your shops? Where are your businesses? Where's your trade? Where's all your wealth and money now that you are proud in and that you disobeyed me due to that? Allah says, show me now, where are all your assets? In the hereafter, Allah will ask us. Allah says, where's everything that you possessed? And the things you accumulated and hoarded, your palaces, your houses, where have they all disappeared? Now tell me, what's better, that poor person or you? Subhanallah. And imagine that person, we're reading the verses of the Quran here. Those people will be sat on the thrones and they'll have glasses of alcohol being served to them in Jannah, and such beautiful youthful children will be serving them, that their beauty will be shining like the pearls, and there will be hoors, their wives, their maidens, that you can imagine their beauty in hereafter. And all friends will be sat, imagine that scene, alcohol will be served, no intoxication. And mashallah, they will try to, they will want to grab that alcohol to enjoy it. That's how much they'll be relaxed and happy. And those people we used to laugh at in the dunya, they're backward, they're screaming, oh, he's got no face in the dunya, no status. What a great thing, my friends, that let's understand the purpose of life today. Tell me, just for a few days of life, those things Allah has prohibited, told us to leave, let's control our desires, follow Allah's guidance. But we think it's so hard to get up and come to Fajr. Just beat the nafs in a few days. Just a few days you beat the nafs to come to Fajr, then there's enjoyment beyond enjoyment. Rivers upon rivers in the hereafter. Enjoyment, you cannot imagine today in this world, the maqamah, the rank, the status, the rewards Allah has mentioned in the Quran that we will get in paradise. We can imagine. This is just a sketch Allah's drawn in the Quran. Imagine the rivers. You got a house and there'll be four rivers flowing. What need will you have? There'll be a river of alcohol in paradise, mashallah, and there'll be a river of honey and river of cool water and river of milk. Drink what you want from those rivers and raise your hands and just take the water or the drink, the fluids. This is a sketch Allah's drawn. But can we imagine how it will be physically? We can't understand it. Allah's just given us a comprehension according to our brains. And there will be palaces, big houses, rivers, and beautiful women stood with you that you cannot imagine. And women means that women will also get beautiful husbands. Vice versa. The pious women in this world, they will also have beautiful, handsome husbands in the hereafter. The pious, righteous women in this world will have beautiful, handsome, and their husbands will be the awliya, the kutub abdal in this world. The maqam that they had in this world, those sisters, Allah will give them handsome and pious husbands in marriage in the hereafter. So we should pull ourselves together. Who will be those women? Those so beautiful, despite beautiful hoors, the head of paradise will be the woman of this dunya. Her husn, her beauty cannot be matched by the hoors of the hereafter. She will have more beauty, the pious woman in this world. Yes? And a person, for example, he'll be jannati in paradise, he'll be beautiful, handsome, the women and the men. Allah Ta'ala says, now tell me, O people who waste their time in the dunya, where's everything that you had? So whoever follows the path, Allah has told us, أَتِيُوا اللَّهُ وَأَتِيُوا رَسُولُ. Obey Allah and obey the Prophet ﷺ. Follow Allah's laws, and by following the Prophet ﷺ, don't leave salah. We're tricking Allah, leaving salah, but don't take shortcuts, don't lie, don't do wrong, and don't follow deen for the sake of we lie, we sign on the dotted line, claim, because lying is lying. Yes, so this is just a test for the believers that come in their life. Allah has mentioned those tests to us. Understand what I'm saying? So this path of the deen, to attain it, to follow the real practice of Islam, how can we do that? How? It's very easy, Allah says, to practice Islam. Jannah, paradise, the enjoyment Allah has given to us, the description in the Quran, Allah says it's easy to get to Jannah. How? By saying, by doing Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. By obeying Allah and following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Easy. But Allah says at the same time it's very hard. If you follow the desires and shaitan, then deen is hard. But the tariqah, the method is given to us that if you want to practice deen, how can you start practicing the deen so you get the rewards? It's easy. So the point I'm trying to get you to, the point I'm trying to explain or share with you, actually I'm going to share it with you, mashallah, you are very pious people, alim, scholar sitting in mufti, sat. How can I explain to you? I'm not capable. Yes? So I just give a slap to my face so I remind myself, because by mistake I will say such wasteful things that I'm telling you, or I'm explaining to you. No, rather I'm sharing with you. I'm sharing with you. Because I'm here for my Islam, for my rectification. All the things I'm saying, alhamdulillah, the fadl of Allah, I'm saying so I can improve myself. And believe me, that after this bayan, I listen myself, and then I can see that I've improved by listening back to what I've said. Yes, this is how we improve ourselves. Yes, so if I say I'm doing this, or we should do this, I should listen to it myself, and teach myself. Why? Because such circumstances, messages Allah has given to us, that person is, everything we are discussing today is bi'idhnillah, that Allah Ta'ala then enables someone to say something from the mouth, to share. So Allah Ta'ala enables a person, inspires a person. No, everybody can speak. No. So what was I saying, or requesting, or sharing? that this path of the Deen Islam that I've repeated to you, the desires makes it hard for us. But why do the desires make it hard for us? Because Allah says the method I've prescribed to you, you've left that, but it was very easy to practice Deen, that you have taken hold of the fake way and non-Sunnah way, and you think you're a lover of the Prophet ﷺ. So what's that path that Allah has made easy for us? The methodology Allah has given to us, that if you do that method, then you'll be on the motorway, and straight you'll go to London, or straight you will practice the thing. Understand what I'm saying? So why don't we grab hold of that, or put that method, that formula, very easy formula, not difficult at all. Not difficult at all. If we do certain things, that will make it easy for us to obey Allah and follow the Prophet. So it's a question mark. How can we make this easy? If we learn that path, then when we get success, look here. What I'm saying. Yes, we'll be successful, of course. That's why we've come here. That Allah says that what is the path that we say, Allah, we pray, we worship, and then we still do haram, we still lie. So what's the practice that we can do so that we can attain Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul? Make it easy for us. Allah says, I prescribed it, I told you it, I formulated it, and it's guaranteed if you follow that method, that formula, Allah says, then you'll come to the deen, Atiyu Allah wa Atiyu Rasul. Obey Allah and obey His Rasul. So what is it we need to do to get to that? There was a pious elder, Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmed, Rahmatullah Ali. Yes, just recently, he was a big sheikh, high status in his generation, alim, scholar, pious elder, sheikh, and ulama respected scholars from India and subcontinent know him, Laknavi. From the Mashaykh, that mashallah, he was used to attend the gatherings of other sheikhs. He was a big wali Allah, and there he was a Sufi of Karachi, Hakim Akhtar Sahib, and he was his sheikh as well, Shah Muhammad Ahmed Rahmatullah Alayh. So he once came to a speech, a bayan, and you know the ulama respected scholars of Lucknow, they invited them that please you come and give the bayan speech. He was a wali Allah. And there was a big gathering, ulama, scholars. And it was established, there was lots of people there. And they invited him. So he went there and he gave a speech. And the speech he gave such was that, oh, respected scholars of Lucknow, I am addressing you. I am speaking to you. He said, ilm, the importance of knowledge and the glory of knowledge is very high indeed. Yes, I'm just repeating his words, that what he said. And he said that I am lower than you. You are scholars, you have ilm, and I'm lower than you. MashaAllah, your knowledge, everything is higher than me. There's no doubt, but he said, oh, respected scholars, remember this point. The ilm with the knowledge, until you don't go into the company of a wali Allah, a sheikh, who does your tazkiyah, no way can you get close to Allah. No way. This is the message he gave. So from the sheikh, this was his statement, and they didn't know that important part in our heart is what? Quran and hadith. He said, so I will give you dalil, I'll give you proof, but from the wali Allah, from his blessed mouth, he gave a statement, and whatever statements come from the mouth of the wali Allah, they are according to the Quran and the Sunnah. So it's not Quranic reference I've given you, it's not hadith, but it's Quran. They're saying that, mashallah, a person like me who doesn't understand, but he embraces that. So if you consider somebody as a wali Allah and you believe that person, definitely when some words come from his blessed mouth, it will be in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah for sure. Because it's dalil behind that, what he says, whether you understand or not. So all the respected scholars were there. They accepted this statement of his. That how can we get close to Allah if we don't go into the company of a wali Allah? They said, we accept that. That when the Quran hadith tells us this, the company of the mashayikh of pious people, nabiyin wa siddiqin wa shuhada wa salihin wa hasuna ulaika rafiqa. So they then understood now what is the formula. That a believer, Allah has made it easy for every Muslim, so he gets stronger in Islam. That if you want to attain Allah's pleasure and you want to follow the Prophet Muhammad, the easy way to get there is how? To go into the company of a wali Allah, a sheikh, and take his hand as guidance. How easy Allah has given us that path. There's an example I'll give to you. If you, for example, stand on the platform, train station here, I think I've traveled a few times, but in Pakistan, I remember the traveling by train, India, Pakistan. So first of all, you see in the platform that the steam engine comes, and you say it's the engine. Yeah, what will you call it? The engine. And it's getting ready. And then with the engine, when you stood there, and he starts it, it's an engine. But as soon as a carriage comes and attaches to the engine, the first carriage, the second carriage, it doesn't remain engine, then becomes a train. It changes, isn't it? On their own, the steam engine or the diesel engine is on its own, it's the engine. But when the carriages come and connect, then we'll say it's the train. So the carriages connect, more carriages, and it stretches out. Sometimes I saw that those carriages, that they go beyond the platform's length, right to the back. Very long. But every carriage, the one at the end, even the carriage at the end believes that the engine at the front, it will never leave me. When it arrives to the destination, I'll also be tagging along. I won't stay behind in the departure point, because even though I was attached right at the end to the whole train, but I am a carriage and I am a box and I'm attached there. The connection is there. As soon as the engine moves, then I will succeed as well. I will move along with the engine. So this is the example of the Wali Allah, the friend of Allah, the Shaykh. That if you try to travel alone on the journey of love, I couldn't travel alone on the journey of love. I am traveling because you are with me, O guide, my teacher. I'm traveling. So I can't travel alone on the journey of life. I'm traveling because with me is the guide, the teacher. So, when the Wali Allah, his great impact is what? The Shaykh. What's his impact? That's the maqam, the state. Allah's given them that capability. The Wali Allah. Allah's enabled them, given them the permission that they illustrate and show the path to the creation. So it's converted. As soon as the believer attaches himself to the engine is the Shaykh, and all the carriages of the believers is guaranteed, whoever connects to a Wali Allah, he will definitely arrive to the destination. Definitely. Understand what I'm saying? Understand now the formula of how to practice deen? Whoever has found the company of a Shaykh and connected with him, taken his hand, eventually he'll get to the guidance. How? How will he arrive to the destination? How? Because Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul, definitely he will attain the learning of how to obey Allah and by following the Prophet. Definitely before dying, definitely he'll do tawbah on haram. He'll repent on haram. Why? Because why? The Wali Allah, that's his function. That's his objective. I've mentioned to you about Quran, Hadith. Who are the people, the Awliya Allah, the Mashaykh, the friends of Allah? What do they have in their possession? They have Iman, they have Kamil Iman. Kamil Iman. They have Taqwa and a high level, strong Taqwa, fear of Allah. And they have a very high level, good conduct and manners. And they have done Tarbiyah on their nafs. They learn how to control their desires. And they have the Noor, the light from the gatherings of Dhikr. That's the qualities of the Wali Allah, the Shaykh. And all of this in one gathering, Allah Ta'ala collects according to the status of that Wali Allah. Otherwise there's no fighting, quarreling, no fitna, no facade, nothing at all. Yes, and as soon as you take the hand of a Wali Allah, go into his company, then that gathering of the Kamil Iman, where will you find? You'll get from the gathering of the Shaykh. Taqwa you get from the company of the Shaykh. Islah, rectification, correction, improvement you get from the company of the Shaykh. Akhlaq you'll get from the company of the Shaykh. This is a total collection of the deen. You understand what I'm saying? Everything, all the learnings of the deen that will connect you to the deen, unless it's from the fountain of the teachings of the Shaykh, you will get the deen of Islam. And that is the fountain of the Wali Allah, the friend of Allah. Yes. In the company of the Wali Allah, the Shaykh, when a believer sits in his company, he will never leave empty-handed. This is a hadith. What's the hadith? That never can a person who sits in the company of a Shaykh, a teacher, never will he leave empty-handed. Why? Because the things that he has, if a person's iman is weak, it will become complete. If a person has low taqwa, the taqwa will get stronger. And if those who don't pray salah will start to improve the salah. Those who are weak in following the sunnah, they'll start practicing the sunnah. Whoever has got dirt inside him, the dirt will be removed. Allah Ta'ala has put the quality, the impact in his wali, in his friend, that whoever and everyone who attends the company, the gathering, will benefit in some way or other. So this humble servant, what should I say to you? That I've gone through this journey myself. this phase. I've gone through this phase myself where I met a great wali Allah. That what I was and what I became within a second. Within a second. Yes, because that's the blessed focus of the wali Allah. His work, his effort. There's a shifa, there's a cure, complete in the presence of the wali Allah. If your niyyah is correct, if your intention is correct, that via this teacher, I want to get close to Allah, I want to please Allah, I want to follow the sunnah. You shouldn't be big-headed in front of the teacher. You should be humble and sincere, and you'll learn from the teacher. So the things I said, whatever Hazrat Sahib said to me, Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad, Hazrat Muhammad Ahmad Sahib, rahmatullahi, the words he said to the scholars of Lucknow was the same thing. That your knowledge is very great, but it is a waste. If you have got the ilm, you've learned the knowledge theoretically, but you can't convert it to practice. When will it convert to practice? When you sit with a practicing person. And you'll be such an individual, they have so much power and impact and charge, that when you sit with the wali Allah in his presence, then you yourself will develop the desire to practice. That I want to also practice. And the biggest thing that you get in the company of the wali Allah is the most dirty, impure Muslim. Doesn't matter how bad he is, how impure, that you will start from that point, that which is the biggest thing that connects us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will start from that point. And what is that? Tawbah, repentance. The first stage when you meet a wali Allah, you will do, first step is tawbah, repentance. You get the ability to repent, to ask Allah for forgiveness. And tawbah, remember this, there's a big deception that the pious elders have taught us, that we think tawbah is very easy. And I'm talking about the real tawbah, real repentance. When a person changes his life, step change in life, U-turn from the old ways, the dark ways, tawbatan nasuh, sincere tawbah, sincere repentance. And you can't do tawbah from your brains. You can't do tawbah from your mouth. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Unique point about tawbah, repentance. And it's not through hard work, tawbah. And nor is it from ease, tawbah. Tawbah, repentance, only and only according to Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq, that when He enables us, can we do tawbah. When He wants us to. Yes, from your destiny you get tawbah. Remember this. Yes. Tawbah is not easy to pretend, I'll do tawbah tomorrow, I'll do it next week, I'll wait a year, I'll come back to the shaykh. No, tawbah is a fantastic condition that Allah Ta'ala puts into the destiny of the believer. It's up to Allah and it's a gift from Allah. Allah says that if I give the ability to somebody to repent, he is most fortunate. Not this small tawbah, I say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. This is not tawbah. This is not repentance. Allah says the real tawbah, repentance, making a U-turn in life for the better. That's if Allah gives us the ability, doesn't matter how much hard I try, I cannot do tawbah. No, I talk about today, in this day and age, I'll share examples with you. Whenever, through speeches, lectures, telling somebody about deen, making someone scared, you tell people about deen, pray salah, don't sin, don't lie, you explain, try to teach people. There was one person example, and this happened to me. He didn't listen. He wouldn't listen. He would leave salah. He would commit the sin. Same way, do haram actions. Same way, immodesty. Would advise that person. But his mind would not accept. He just did not want to practice. Just like it says in the Quran, that the time came. The time came for that person. And then, what happened? The time of death came. And now he's being told that, our servant, recite the kalima, affirmation of faith. Total true story I'm telling you. Do tawbah, repent. Repent now. He said, I can't speak. He said, I can't speak. The rest of the things, he said, give this, give water, medicine. He's talking about everything. But brother, where's the mother, sister, brother? He's talking about the dunya. He's speaking. But when he's told, repent, he says, I can't speak. Because Allah gives the ability to someone to repent. So don't think it's guaranteed. I'm stubborn, I'll sin as what as long as I want. Will we get tawbah when we want it? No. Allah's hisab is very severe. So who are we connected to? We should see who are we connected to. It's not an easy thing that we think, I'll do tawbah when I want, I'll repent when I want. Tawbah is a great condition. Tawbah is such a great condition that all life, 100 years, a person could be doing shirk, and if he does tawbah, Allah says, I forgive all his 100 years of shirk. Yes, he is free, and he does, Allah says he won't even know where his sins have gone. But that person who's done tawbah, yes, it's for him. It's such like he has just been born from the womb of the mother, just like he had never committed a sin in his life if he does tawbah. Yes, that is just like that person has not committed a sin at all after 100 years. What does he know about the sins when he's done tawbah? Can it be that a person after doing tawbah that he runs again towards the sins? That he has got focus and attention and love for the sins after repenting? No way, no way. No, the person who puts his objective of life in front of him, that I'm stuck in the dunya, my circumstances are very low, how do I get out of this jungle? I want to get out of there. Don't be scared, my brothers, don't be scared. I tell you the truth. Don't be scared at all. It's so easy to please Allah, but we cannot imagine how easy it is to please Allah. We ourselves are munafiqs. We don't want to get close to Allah. We don't want it. When we go towards tawbah, then shaitan grabs our feet. Oh, what will happen here? Oh, what will happen there? How will you do this and that? How can it be that in the homes that there's no sharia parda in the house, there's immodesty, no segregation? He says, I've done tawbah. And there's no sharia segregation in the home. He doesn't even know. They don't know that there's parda, segregation, haya, which man can go in front of which woman in front of which man. No, no, it's fine. And these people are so-called Islamic. And they're high status. And they've done tawbah, they repented, but their tawbah is not accepted. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. How can it be that you're breaking sharia in the house, men and women mixing? How can it be that man, that how can he bear that, accept that the law of Allah's deen is being broken in my home? The law. And then if a person is forced to follow that, he says, I'm leaving this house. I can't leave in this house where this is wrong taking place. You'll see with his eyes, no segregation, immodesty, nakedness, non-deeny actions in the house, mixing together, illicit. How can he bear that? How can he see that? That he sees his woman, his women focused, disobedient? No, the reality is that he doesn't understand the consequences because he hasn't done tawbah, he hasn't repented, he doesn't have the desire. Do you understand what I'm saying? What's the reason he hasn't repented? For this reason, that he didn't have the intention, I'm doing tawbah, repenting for this reason, that I can attain my purpose of life of obeying Allah, pleasing Allah, and by following the Prophet. He doesn't have that in front of him. So if I don't have that objective, I don't want to attain that. But when I arrive to the company of Wali Allah with that intention, I'll give you my example. Always I tell you that when I present an example, I don't tell you about other stories or other books, I give you my personal experience of life. So we can take from that. That it wasn't a small change inside me. It wasn't a minor change inside me. I practically saw that the path Allah gave to me is so easy, but the niyyah, the intention should be correct. When Allah has taken me to the company of His wali and I've arrived there, then it's my duty after that to take the responsibility, say Subhanallah. Whoever understands what I'm saying, put your hands up at least so that I can see you've not forgotten. Yes, so look at your intention, your objective. Why are you going to good company? When you take the hand of a shaykh, and even after that we're not doing tarbiyah, we've not understood, not improved, then there's no bigger punishment than that. That if I go to the wali Allah's company and I don't improve, and if I'm, for example, a person sat in the company of the Prophet, like the Sahaba would come, and if the person is not becoming a believer after that, Sadiq was made there, Umar was made there, Ali was made there, Talha was there, Zubayr was there, the greatest companion all became in the company of the Prophet. But the person who didn't have intention that I want to look at the Prophet with this intention so that I can follow and imitate him, then he was Abu Jahl. He's no power of the dunya could change his heart. So same situation today, if a Muslim that Allah says, I go according to intentions, that you are following a path, but if you're just like with the Prophet, if a person sat in front of him not sincere, how can he leave that gathering empty-handed? Understand what I'm saying? How? Today in this day and age, you have a Shaykh Kamil, and you go to his company, and you have the intention of tawbah. How can it be possible that you leave his gathering without leaving haram? How can it be that you not leave his gathering without sharia? How can it be that outside you something, inside your house something, with other people you something, you're changing your lifestyle according to the environment? Why? Because Allah says, become alert, alert. Allah says, be aware, be careful. I will not leave you. Somehow or other, I will grab you. You will never be safe from my punishment. But Allah says, I've made it easy for you to practice deen. If you want it, if you want it, that I have dispersed, I've spread my friends around the world. You don't need to do anything. All you have to do is go present yourself, make a connection with the teacher, extend your hand to that teacher. That's all. Extend your hand and grab his hand. And Allah gives the guarantee that bond is made. You cannot leave that gathering empty-handed. It cannot be that when the carriage is attached to the train right at the back and it doesn't get to the destination. Impossible. Impossible. How can it be that a sheikh, the student, takes his hand, that he goes to hell? And that he lives in the world without a sharia and does haram and lawful actions? And he's deceiving people? No way. Because your niyyah was something else. Yes, so there's no doubt that you can't say that Allah's law is wrong, or Allah's principles have been proved wrong. It cannot be that Allah's laws and principles are wrong. Rather, the individual is wrong. Allah's due to your actions, it can never be that the deen is changed. So Allah says it's impossible that that person who goes in the company of a sheikh with sincerity, that he doesn't follow the sunnah. Did Allah not say for nothing? Allah, first letter my sheikh wrote to me after I met him. When I didn't even have the face, the appearance, the libas, the dress code, I didn't have the habits of the sunnah, the deen, no amal, no practice, nothing was in my life, I'm telling you. And Allah, subhanAllah, Allah's kalam is true. What the words of Allah are true. And do I sit in this gathering and exert my energy for nothing? No. But we don't have the intention that I'm getting support from someone. No, no group, no sect, nothing at all. No support. Just a pain I had in my heart that I want to follow the straight path. That's it. That's the yearning I had. The niyyah was true and sincere that after so long I've come here and I want to stay with this waliyah so long so I can improve and change. And not a small change. You know this, that what was my lifestyle before that? You don't even know. When a person 100 years a disbeliever can become a Muslim, then tell me a Muslim who's born, can he not become a real Muslim? If he's born as a Muslim? I'm telling you, it's very easy to come onto the path of deen. But we have made it hard because we want to fall prey to our nafs, our desires. And when we say, oh, I'll have to leave this, I'm not allowed to do this, I can't do this, oh, Islam is too hard, will I do this? And we make excuses. Oh, it's too hard in this environment, this country. And it's not hard at all. The keep the purpose of life in front of you, it becomes easy. Yes, this is not our own motto or mission we can make up. Eating, drinking, just eat, drink, get a house, get a shop, get a visa, travel, enjoy, holiday. And we think that's the story of life and that's the end. The end. And when will the next phase of life come then? What will we do then? So all of these are, you can say cheap, you could say cheap exchanges that we're going through. We are following our desires to get dunya. Dunya. The shar, the evil of the dunya. Allah says, where are your armies? Allah will ask them, look how powerful were your armies, your soldiers. Allah says, where have your lands gone? The houses you run after, that you were stuck in the dunya. Where's all that? And you broke sharia to get dunya. Allah says, foolish person, why didn't you understand that time when you were alive, that you had Quran in your hand? And you had the kalam of Rahman. And the Muslim was explaining to you. Why didn't the penny drop in your mind then? Oh, I didn't want to practice, but shaitan and nafs will not allow us to practice. And you stay there, the worst. Sunnah is not necessary. I don't need to practice sunnah in my life. Where is it written I have to follow sunnah? Who told you we have to follow sunnah, people say? And thousands of people are follow shaitan. And there are thousands today who pretend they're scholars and they'll deceive you with knowledge. Thousands of so-called scholars, ulama, though you'll not see one righteous scholar. Ulama Su', the whole dunya is full of the false scholars now, who'll deviate you. Everything they say is permissible. Everything that's unlawful, they say, this is permissible. Big conferences, gatherings, whenever opportunity comes, they'll try to wipe away the deen so that they can increase their group, so that they will never allow you to benefit. That a big day will come, Rabiul Awwal, the Sirat al-Rasul, to revive us about the sunnah it should be, and to understand the life of the Prophet and how we spend that day in the worst way, the night was apart from fighting, quarrelling, arguing, and in modest things, we don't know how to pass that time. Because we don't have the niyyah, the intention. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Allah says, say, O my Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, to the Muslims, you are trying to look for Allah in the world. What action, worship are you trying to get close to Allah to? Allah says, there's no condition, no criteria except one. قُلْ O my Prophet Muhammad, tell the Muslims yourself the message I'm giving to them. If you want to please Allah, salah, fasting, hajj, zakat, worship, naaz, nasheed. No, Allah says, I'm not happy due to these actions. Fattabiuni, you must follow the Prophet, then I will love you, Allah says. Such sibqudullah, straightforward path of my beloved Prophet Muhammad, Allah says, that there's nothing that can compare. It's such a color, it's such a great way of life, the Prophet Muhammad, such a color of life, that when you immerse yourself in the color, yuhibbukumullah, Allah says, then I will love you, O my believers. O my ummati, Allah says, you are the ummati of my mahbub, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will love you so much, O Muslim, that the angels will be envious of you. But we say, no, 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 sunnah is too hard. Where is it written? It's not necessary. People laugh at me. Where will I get food from? How will I earn? Will I run my business? We don't know about Sharia. We don't know about sunnah. We don't know about the laws, my colleagues, my brothers. Let's do tawbah. Let's repent. Very easy and brilliant path of Islam is what? How do we attain it? What did I say is the formula? How to get onto the path of deen? That don't travel on the journey alone. I'm traveling and you are with me. This is the path that will take me to the destination. So if you can't travel alone, you can't travel alone on this path in this dunya yourself. If you try, then you must definitely make your friend, the Wali Allah, who should be your friend. Look, the Holy Prophet ﷺ told us the sign. Hazrat Abu Huraira, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We give him the signs. You want to become muttaqi, you want fear of Allah, you want complete iman, you want good akhlaq, good manners. Tell me, then what should we do? Tafsiyah, you want to purify your heart, you want to control your desires, you want to suppress your desires. Whatever you want to do to improve yourself, Allah says, as Abu Huraira, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, I will tell you the signs and I will tell you the method. But no. Is there anyone? No, I just want to do it myself. I came like this and I want to just came to you, Shaykh, to learn zikr from you so that my heart becomes alive. Just teach me Allah, 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 so I can just do it myself and follow the path myself. And all of the dunya we're stuck in. What zikr are you going to do to get out of the dunya? Say subhanAllah. What nonsense niyyah we have. What are we doing nowadays? I can't understand. It's beyond understanding. Allah says, this is not deen. Zikr is not deen. Deen is one way of life, complete way of life. There's only one path equals deen, one way, one method. Don't take salah, fasting, Quran, nothing. Just follow and imitate the lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of Islam will come into that. All of Islam will come into that. That's it. Sunnah. He says, and follow the sunnah, will he leave salah? Then of course he will, isn't it? If a person's running after the sunnah, then obviously he's going to pray salah according to the sunnah. Yes, Allah says that any ibadah, you have no need for worship. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. Just do one worship. The start point of Islam, Allah says, to get near to me is what? To follow the Prophet ﷺ's lifestyle in your life. A to Z. When his lifestyle overwhelms you, such a color, great color of his life, Allah says, I will start to love you. Imagine Allah will start to love us. Yes, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah says. Imagine the wording here. Imagine the weight here. Until today, we cannot understand this word in this verse of Surah Al-Imran. This verse, we cannot understand it. If we understand it, then our ummah will be so great today by following the sunnah of the Prophet. Tell me, Quran, we read Quran, tafsirs, we read. One simple verse of Surah Al-Imran, we don't want to understand it. But I'm explaining it today. What will we understand from the Quran? Well, I'm trying to share this. that person who understands this verse of the Quran, Surah Al-Imran, whoever has understood this verse, he has understood the whole of the Quran. The whole. Guaranteed. The person who understands this verse, it cannot be that he will lead a life of deviation against, away from the Sunnah. Or that he runs after the dunya. Or he lives opposition to the Sharia. I cannot imagine that that person will do that. Such a great piece of news Allah is giving, that if you imitate my Nabi, Prophet Muhammad, Allah says, I will love you. Imagine if Allah starts to love us, will He send us to hell? Ghawth, Kutub, Abdal, they are all those people about whom Allah says that they are my preferred servants. I love them. How do we become those who Allah loves? Come back to that verse, the guidance. Has Abu Rayra, qala Rasulullah s.a.w. Al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi. Subhanallah. Riwayah, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi. This hadith, go, you'll find this hadith. Isn't it, Mulana sir? What did the Prophet ﷺ tell us? That my believers, it's an easy way. Whatever you want to become, then make your friends like that and you'll become like that. Have friends like that. Now I want to become strong iman, strong taqwa, good akhlaq, good manners, and I want to suppress my desires and oppose shaitan. Then Allah says, totally fine. Whoever has all of this, then go to that person's company and become his friend. Guaranteed, Allah says, al-mar'u, guaranteed from this world to thereafter, you will be with that person. Because that stamp of approval has come to you. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. So is there an easier way to practice deen than this? Just do one action, go and connect yourself to the engine of that train. And not just first make your intention correct though. Just like this humble servant went. I swear by Allah, that person's company from far, subhanallah, that my Allah fill his qabr, his grave with nur. Such a kamil shaykh he was, that I went with that knee, I left my home, my appearance, my dress code, everything was not correct at that time. And the people of the world were amazed that this dirty person, who's he come here today? And this drug consumer, where's he come from, this dirty person who's sitting all day with a shaykh? The students thought, he doesn't have the parents, he doesn't have the practice. There were dervish sat there. And they couldn't understand, there, who's this person sat with a shaykh all day long? But mashallah, he was the wali Allah, he had the vision when he saw my desire. They said, you cannot leave here until we don't fulfill this desire. That desire you've come with, you will stand with that achieved. And when I left his hujra after 5-6 hours, then he raised my hands and said, this person has come to me and Allah's made him a wali Allah. Subhanallah. Can anyone achieve this for nothing? Why? What's the underlying factor? That people asked why? It's not my achievement, he said. That he had the desire, the niyyah, and Allah brought him in. The true, sincere intention, Allah will never send that person back. Never. And I've told you my own true story. Why? Because the hadith tells us is that when you make a friend who's good, then Allah says, "Kunu ma sadiqeen." How can it be that you go to the company of a wali Allah, and then you stay an empty box of rubbish? You stay as a waste of space and you still sin? What's the benefit? You're still trimming your beard, and you don't follow the sunnah, you do lie, you fraud, you haram consumption, and no sharia, no Islamic boundaries, nothing at all. And you don't care about anything, the deen, nothing at all. For the sake of Allah, understand the deen. The time that will come is very severe. May Allah give me islah, and may Allah also elevate your status. May Allah accept our gathering of today. Wa akhru dawana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen, shafi'il mursaleen, taha yasin, habibul amin. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وزوجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا غزيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا و وهزلنا وجدنا وخطونا ومدنا كل ذلك عندنا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا ولا تعطيها اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وهجرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافع البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين.